Welcome back, everybody, to another Recap Review Rewind. We're bringing it back to the year 2011, which is probably when the Thor movie was set. If this even is set then, what am I doing? Please leave a like and thank you if you saw it early at BigSandwich.co, the audio edition of these recaps, where this week, Mason, the episode should have been titled, What If Thor Was Corey Worthington, Australia's Favourite Party Boy?
Oh my God, yes, please. That's a local reference. Leave a like, folks, if you knew we were going to do a local reference immediately that you'd have to Google and ultimately be disappointed by.
Local and dated, so, you know.
Oh, that's true. Those are both our signature moves. That is very correct. Yes, in this reality, this what if, the twist was, of course, that Odin decided not to adopt Loki, but instead give him back to the Frost Giants.
Yep.
And therefore, Thor, as an only child, presumably was very spoiled, and then, as a result, became the number one party boy.
Exactly.
And you know what? Worked out pretty well for the most part, I have to say.
It seemed
Everybody's
to.
He's having a great time.
Yeah, he was having a great time. It was just banging about. You know what I mean? Literally and metaphorically.
Yeah.
I should also point out that the first Thor is set just after Iron Man 2, which maybe makes it 2010, if that's when Iron Man 2 is set, which I don't think it is. But anyway, it's neither here nor then. It doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it's interesting then, James, that where's Iron Man? I'm sure I ask this every episode, but where's Iron Man? What's he doing?
He's probably already dead.
Wouldn't he be at a party at the very least?
Good point.
He's right in the throes of his alcohol addiction.
Yeah.
Which he then immediately got over. So
yeah.
Surely he'd be at just by thinking hard. So surely he'd be there. He'd be right amongst this amazing party, right?
Do you reckon he's throwing a rival party because he's totally jealous? Is he that kind of guy?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, sure. He's declared himself the anti-Corey Worthington. Sure, yeah. Now, here's a question for you, James.
Sure.
Here's a question for you. And maybe the comic books answer this. Maybe there's some supplemental material that answers this. But how is it that when, given that Loki is raised by Frost Giants, he retains his Frost Giant skin and stature,
yeah,
but when he's raised on Asgard, he is like more or less human sized and he's like pasty. What's the deal going on there? Is it a spell? Is it the environment? Is it what you eat on Asgard? Is it one of those situations where, like, you know, if you get a seedling of a watermelon and you put it in a box, you get a square watermelon? Is it that green suit he wears that squished him down to human size?
That's a great question. I do wonder whether it is like a magical influence from his mother, perhaps, so that he fits in more, because he's not aware at all. Like, so he's not, at the very least, he's not consciously doing that, because he's surprised to find that he is a frost giant, you know?
In the original Thor, yes.
Yeah. But the answer is magic, probably.
Mm.
So, you know.
So what did you, that's exactly it. It's probably magic or like, something in the old legends.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a magical horn. Somebody blew a magical horn and he stayed the same height he was or something.
Just blew a magical horn right up him.
Yeah.
And those magical winds kept him short.
What did you think of this episode overall, James?
I mean, you know, light. It was kind of reminded me in parts of like a Looney Tunes episode and a bit of Dragon Ball Z, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say exactly a Looney Tunes episode. I was going to say if people out there are fans of Black Mirror, every, you know, sixth episode, maybe they do a lighthearted one because they feel like people, you know, their last vestiges of joy have been crushed down to a fine powder.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they want to perk people's spirits up a little bit. And I feel like, you know, some of the universes we've seen thus far in the What If series have been quite grim.
Yes.
And I think they were like, let's just maybe before the big finale, maybe the big finale is going to get pretty dramatic. So let's maybe just give them a lighthearted one. And yeah, it felt like a Looney Tunes short, like a baby's day out situation, you know, especially because he has to, you know, party Thor wants to have a big old fashioned party, but he's got to do it under the eyes of Frigga, his mother, and also Heimdall, who isn't voiced by Idris Elba, but
or
I
anyone.
Love that he was just this like, yeah, it's just this, he's just this sinister pair of eyes that's always watching you, and like the sinister zoom in on him and like the, just the, you know, he occasionally harumphs when he realizes he's being tricked, you know?
I thought
that was a great use of that character.
It reminded me a bit of like, what if you know, Ferris Bueller was like 9,000 years old or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's probably part of that.
Especially
definitely...
like the cleanup at the end, you know, or like a risky business minus the prostitution. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Good cast this week, though. I mean, I guess as it always is, Chris Hemsworth, beardless.
Yep.
Natalie Portman, Tom Hiddleston, Kat Dennings, Sam Jackson, briefly, Jeff Goldblum, Colby Smulders, who got a lot of play in this, actually, Frank Grillo, mm-hmm. Clark Gregg, or Greg Clark, whatever his name is,
mm-hmm.
Jamie Alexander, Taika Waititi, Karen Gillan, among others. But I'll say this, I thought initially when we saw both Darcy and Jane Foster in that van, I'm like, man, sometimes this animation really struggles to depict yeah. brunette women, you know what I mean? It's like... between this and who was the first one they had in the Doctor Strange? Christine. It was like, is there a template for these people?
I had the same thought. And like, honestly, when you put the voices with them, I'm like, over the span of the episode, you sort of get it. And I think if I just...
yeah, and it, when it's brighter, you notice more. Yeah.
And I think with, especially with Darcy's character model, I looked at that and I'm like, okay, if you told me that was Darcy and I squinted, I would get it. But I think if you just showed me both character models sort of out of context and said, who is this supposed to be?
Yeah.
I think I'd be lost a little bit. And I think, no, and I, you know, I think that maybe is a function of, and if you showed me like any 10 generic male or female or what have you characters from the Marvel Universe comics from like the 60s or 70s,
yeah,
I would be lost with a lot of those as well. I think, you know, a lot of Marvel characters are, you know, they are novel by virtue of the costumes.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Like, you take that frozen helmet off Loki, then it's nobody.
He's just a man. Look, you take I don't know, like Donald Blake and Bruce Banner and Steve Rogers, like they're 60s character models.
Yeah.
Without the costumes, they all look exactly the same. So,
yeah,
you know.
You're right.
I understand the difficulty, but at the same time, you know.
Absolutely. So almost immediately the party gets out of hand. There's matching tattoos. Darcy marries Howard the Duck. I'm glad it wasn't all party, though, because it was like there were some interruptions, first of all, from Maria Hill after Nick Fury gets concussed permanently, maybe by Korg. And then it's Captain Marvel steps in. But not before, of course, we get the revelation that in this universe that Loki and Thor, they're mates.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
They're just good. They're good mates. And they're probably better as mates than they are brothers, if I'm honest, it seems.
Everything worked out pretty good, I got to tell you. Yeah. They're big time party bros.
Yeah, if it wasn't for somebody skipping over from another dimension. But also, Thor's also got a sister out there. So if she turned up, he would be woefully unprepared for any of that, really, wouldn't he?
That's probably you true, know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the inclusion of Captain Marvel, I enjoyed. Because, you know, you can then portray somebody, two people really, and we'll get into it because I think I'm going to title the video something similar to this, to inflame the comments, like two people of that power level, like battering each other around the earth, I think is a fun thing to kind of mess around with.
Could you maybe title it Thor brackets true fans versus Captain Marvel brackets Kathleen Kennedy ? Would that work, do you think?
Yeah, I think I could do that, yeah.
Yeah, 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 that'll upset people.
Definitely. I wanted to talk about, though, like, who is more powerful or who is perceived to be in this case.
Uh-huh.
And I should also mention that ultimately it comes down to whoever's writing the current situation. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And yeah. I think especially in this episode, you know, and again, it is quite lighthearted. It really did feel like, you know, one side was... the Captain Marvel side was very much like just trying to maybe knock him out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and turf him from the planet, maybe throw him into space.
Yeah.
And Thor was just attempting to, you know, like deal with this problem, you know, in a
so he could party on,
lighthearted manner. And so he could party on, dude. So yeah, if people are going to analyze this endlessly and to, you know, as a means to determine who truly is the ultimate power in the MCU, I don't think they're going to find any real answers here.
No,
but I did think the action looked spectacular. I think it was
I completely agree.
They're flying through the air. They're, you know, the mere action of like Thor, you know, Mjolnir flying at Thor and then he grabs it and there's, you know, this huge explosion of wind and dust in the desert, you know, it all looked great. The martial arts as they're clashing into each other and the energy blasts are bouncing off looked real good, looked real nice.
That desert scene seemed like something directly out of Roadrunner, like that whole backdrop.
Yeah. Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
All it was missing was one of them like running off the edge of a cliff and then realizing that there was no more cliff left and then falling, but then realizing that they could both fly. So it wasn't a problem at all.
So it's absolutely fine. Yeah. So it seems though, as if that Captain Marvel, she mentions that she was holding back and she would like batter the planet in half if she fully unleashed. Uh-huh. And also I guess it's worth mentioning that this Thor isn't the fully kind of uncorked version of Thor. He's probably not as well trained as the original Thor. And on top of that, he hasn't unlocked all his lightning powers or whatever happened to him in Ragnarok, which was also maybe not that big a deal because he had to get an axe to fight, you know, Thanos or whatever.
That's true.
I don't know. But I guess you could take solace at the end of the day where Thor did actually technically win that first battle because he pins her with the hammer. So I think if you were upset that, you know, that Captain Marvel's coming in and ruining everything, you know, Kathleen Kennedy, et cetera, he did technically get the upper hand in that first battle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I did also appreciate the reference where he was asking her to smile a little.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a fun real world nod to the criticism that Captain Marvel wasn't smiling in any of the posters or the promotional trailers for that movie.
Unlike all the male heroes who are just grinning from ear to ear on every promotional still, you know?
Exactly. What about this? Were you happy to see Sydney, Australia?
Yes, I absolutely was. I mean, I would have loved to see the Opera House just explode in a big old explosion.
Yeah, sure.
Classic style. But Australians love any reference to themselves in
anything.
In any kind of like international media. Yeah, in anything really. I mean, you know, and that was probably, I would say that's probably a nod to Chris Hemsworth.
Definitely.
To which I say, why not blow up Byron Bay?
Yep.
Is all I'm saying. You know, it's always an option.
Why not visit his native stomping ground, Phillip Island? World renowned.
Why not destroy Ramsay Street?
I'm loving these local references, Mason. And they get more and more local as the episode progresses. But,
yes,
and I think we should, you know, I'm a, you know, we're obviously going to get to this. We've been, you know, hedging our bets about when these universes are beginning to merge. And I think it was decided last week that Episode 7 was going to hint at this happening.
Yeah.
And it very much is hinting at in a big way. Though, I mean, it's not revealed that this is a version of Ultron. Like, it could be from this universe technically.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't seem to be. It seems to be that he's skipping over from another dimension.
Well, yeah. Because, you know, two things. One, this Ultron is in possession of all the Infinity Stones or maybe all its dimensions Infinity Stones, but also inside the Ultron helmet looks to be Vision.
Yes.
And as we know, Vision in the main MCU sort of patterned his look on Thor.
Yeah.
So if this is the first time they've met, how'd that happen?
You know well, I mean, if you notice that when Vision comes out of the pod initially, he's got that kind of generic kind of man look to
him. Yeah, right.
And then it's the cape and the whatever. So I think that was the design of the body initially, and Ultron added the armor and bits and pieces to it.
Yeah,
so I think he was also I think he was initially supposed to look like a generic man. And who is more generic a man than Paul Bettany?
Very
a
true.
Human mannequin. Just kidding. Very handsome, obviously. Like a mannequin, I guess, though. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's interesting because there's a few kind of possibilities for what's going to happen from here. As mentioned, he's probably from another timeline where he wins in Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is as well, Ultron, he does kind of fuck around a bit with time and reality in the original Age of Ultron comic run.
That is true.
But this seems to be more of a nod to the Infinity Countdown comic from 2018. Where it's the race is on to collect all the Infinity Stones.
Well, that's a heck of a reference, James. That off the top of your head?
I mean, yes.
Okay, great.
I mean, I've got notes, but it's something that I recognised. You know what I mean?
Because
I'm that much of a fan. I'm a big fan, Mason.
Mm.
So, but here's something I actually don't know. I thought I'd ask you.
Go on.
In the comic books, and this is probably isn't going to be relevant to this at all, the Infinity Stones don't work in different dimensions. Is that right?
That is correct. I don't know if this has always been true, but there was I think a Fantastic Four or a Future Foundation comic book in which Reed Richards from the main Marvel universe meets a bunch of other Reed Richardses from
Reed Richard
parallel universes. Yeah, Reed Richard, Reed's Richard, and many of them possess a completed Infinity Gauntlet, and their mission is to like you know save as many universes as they can. And Reed Richards says, well, why don't you just use your Infinity Gauntlets to, you know, save a universe with your snap of your fingers? And they all explain that the Infinity Gauntlets only work in the dimensions in which they originate. So they've saved their universes, but they can't use them anywhere else.
Yeah.
So whether that's true in the MCU or in the What If universe is yet to be determined. Because, you know, also in the MCU, if you remember, Thanos uses the Infinity Stones to destroy the Infinity Stones.
Mm.
But in the comic books, you can't do that. They cannot be destroyed by themselves. So
yeah.
Rules are different clearly in the MCU.
We've got a couple of rules, and that is that, like, if you pop back in time, which creates an alternate dimension like we saw in Endgame, you can bring those stones over from a parallel dimension or timeline. Yeah, yeah. And we also know that in Loki, you can't use them in the TVA. But I think it's just going to be, if you bring stones from another dimension, you can just do whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's obviously how he got there also. It seems to be, anyway.
Mm.
So apparently, though, I know you're a big Spade head. He's not coming back, James Spader.
Oh, no.
He's busy doing that show, The Blacklist, which is apparently still going, where he's an international terrorist, or he's a guy doing CSI stuff. I can't. Or both? I don't know.
Maybe both, sure. Or neither.
I've never seen it.
Odds are probably neither. But, I mean, there's probably a sound alike amongst, you know, the voice actors that already done this. They could give him Paul Bettany's voice if they wanted
to. See, I don't think they will. I thought about that because Paul Bettany is Jarvis, and I don't think they'd use that for this.
Mm.
So I'm thinking they're going to do a sound-alike situation. Or maybe he is in it and we haven't heard about it yet. And they kept that casting secret because this is the big reveal. Like, this is the, you know, it multi-dimensional threat that we've been building towards this entire time.
Do you think it is? Do you think it is, James? Because
yes, 100%.
How many episodes are there left to go? Is it one or two?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm not sure. Maybe initially I thought, okay, maybe this is just, we're just ending this episode on that cliffhanger, as episodes often do end, of like, but what's going to happen in this universe? But you are right in the sense that when this Ultron appeared, the Watcher was like, hey, what the heck?
Yes.
What is this? I'm seeing everything, but I'm not seeing this.
Yeah,
This is a Corey Worthington-esque twist. My goodness, this party's going out of control.
Going multi-dimensional, because then you got to establish like another villain, and I'm not saying it couldn't be like a team of,
maybe
he teams up with the Loki who's taken over Earth on that world or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. I mean, what we might be seeing is a return of maybe some potential villains from previous episodes. Maybe in the start of the next episode, we might see them all emerge into different realities. Maybe like the evil monster Doctor Strange might appear in a different reality.
Yeah.
Or like some of the zombies might go over to the World War II reality, the Captain Carter reality, and maybe, et cetera, et cetera. We might see him switching back and forth, and then the Watcher's like, well, I got to get everybody together.
Mm. Mm. I think you might be onto something there, because I think we're getting a whole mashup, Mason. I've just got a few little Easter eggs and bits and pieces that I thought I'd add here at the end, Mason, because why not?
So I have one question here.
I'd love questions.
Okay, and this might be on your list. At one point, Captain Marvel and Thor, they sort of battle over some sort of tropical island. Maybe it's Hawaii or something like that. And we see a woman, she's got a tropical drink. She's listening to some Hawaiian music.
Yeah.
Who is that? Do we know who it is? Is it someone significant, or is it just...
I honestly didn't stop to look.
Because you'd think... Okay, because I went back a couple of times and I, you know, generally speaking, if it's just a random bystander and they saw something like that, they'd be like, boy, it's time to quit drinking. Oh my God, it's better switch to decaf. But this person was very calm with the advent of like, you know, a big glowing ball of light shooting through the sky. So I'm like, maybe that is somebody significant. I thought maybe it was Pepper Potts, but you know.
It could be. Yeah,
what's the significance there? We'll
learn. It's on the screen. Coltlings who edits these masterfully. He's put them on the screen, and it's going. Now we're going to get 1,000 comments telling us, Mason. I appreciate that because I love the engagement. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
And I love being engaged. You know what I mean? Just feeling that love. You know?
Sure. You divorce your wife every week just so you can get re-engaged to her. It's
exactly.
So expensive.
That's what you got to do, mate. You got to bloody do. So yeah, so a couple of the Easter eggs in terms of like people that and things that we saw. We saw Skrulls. We saw those golden people from Guardians of the Galaxy 2, whatever they're called.
Oh, we sure did.
We saw Surtur hitting on the Statue of Liberty. We saw Meek, I believe. I think I saw Meek with Korg at one point on the bridge.
Oh, yep.
We get an Eric Salvig mention, but we didn't get him physically appearing or even hearing his voice. I saw Rocket Raccoon at one point among the other Guardians. Mantis is there also. There's a mention of a planet of the unicorns, and I just did kind of a bit of a Google around to see like, in the Marvel Universe, is there a planet of the unicorns? And there isn't, but they're just something that's just, like, around, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Some worlds have them, some don't, magical, et cetera, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Tooth Gnasher might have been referenced because they mentioned a goat called Greg.
Oh, yes.
And Tooth Gnasher is the goat that Thor rides. And I think it's also going to be in Love and Thunder.
It is, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
So I might just be a nod or nothing.
Yeah.
Did you notice that, like, great Gatsby Leonardo DiCaprio nod where he lifts the glass?
I did see that, yeah. Very meme-worthy. That'll be the new saluting somebody on the internet meme.
God, I love new memes. I love fresh, hot content. Do you?
That's right. Yes. That's what we're all about. We're making, James, we're making fresh, hot content right now. I don't know if you're aware of that.
And also the frost giant Loki we saw as a variant in Loki.
That's true.
It might not be the same one, but we've seen this particular, like something like this before.
Here's another little Easter egg for you, and maybe this is just a coincidence. In fact, I'm almost certain it's just a coincidence. Episode 3 of MODOK, the stop-motion Marvel animation, featured an episode where MODOK attempts to liven up a party by opening a portal to some like snail-like aliens called the Seagramites, whose ability is they can party all the time, but then it causes planets to party themselves to death. So I thought it was just
I haven't seen that.
What a fun little coincidence. It's a good show.
It's a coincidence?
Yes.
I should watch it. Yeah, I love the animation in that as well. It's sick, mate. Anyways, I thought this was, you know, this is like the calm or the fun before like the storm of like nightmarish parallel dimensions like merging in on each other, I'd imagine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Before the whole thing ends on a cliffhanger for season 2.
Yeah, that's right. And then there's a management change at Disney and they never make a season 2.
Exactly.
And we never get any resolution of any kind.
Good.
And everybody's mad.
Good.
At Captain Marvel, I mean Kathleen Kennedy.
Anyways, thank you to people for watching this. Really appreciate it. And thank you to those who headed over to bigsandwich.co to sign up early to get the audio edition. And speaking of, there's a bunch of stuff there. We've got movie commentaries. We have bonus podcasts. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that comes out there on Sunday as opposed to the regular Monday. This Monday, we'll probably be talking about Star Wars Infinities, which I haven't watched as of yet. But
Yeah.
Among other things. And also at Big Sandwich, also on Sunday, there's going to be a Daredevil commentary for the movie Daredevil 2003.
That's right.
We finally did it, Mason.
We recorded it and then we took a big swig of our drinks and then we checked the recording to see if it had recorded and it looked like it hadn't recorded. And we're like, what a fun waste of 2 hours. But then we checked again and it had recorded and we're like, great, because we'll never do that again.
Absolute victory. Anyways, thanks everybody. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
And thank you, of course, to Raw Collings, who's also at Raw Collings on Twitter, who puts these together.
He has done it again.
And we got this one to him particularly late. So thank you so much for that.
But he's going to get it out particularly early.
I don't think so. He shouldn't.
No, he should get it out at the regular time. He should take his time.
Yeah, that's it. All right, thanks everyone.
All right, bye everybody. Bye.